This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The Ford Motor Company is offering its employees inducements to quit their jobs. The buyout offers can include a payment of $140,000. That comes some weeks after General Motors offered every single one of its union workers similar kinds of deals. And while the big news is coming out of Detroit, buyouts are one of the standard ways that companies use to reduce their workforces. For example, a lot of people in the newspaper business got buyout offers over the past few years. Some people say it's a no-brainer. Take the money and run. Others warn you may regret it before too long. Later in the program, how Thriller shaped our lives and our culture. You can email us your Thriller story now if you'd like. The address is talk@npr.org. But first, the up and downside of buyouts. If you're facing a decision right now, call and tell us what you're thinking about. If you were offered one in the past, what did you do? Do you regret it? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And we begin with Sarah Webster, who's at our member station in Detroit, WDET. She's a reporter for the Detroit Free Press. And Sarah Webster, thanks very much for taking the time to be with us today.
No problem. Good afternoon.
And are the offers from Ford and General Motors roughly equivalent?
Fords are a little more lucrative. They went back to the drawing table and decided to enhance some of the packages to really show how motivated they are to get workers to leave. For example, an early retirement package for a skilled tradesman. Under an old buyout package, it was $35,000 cash plus some benefits and other things. Now it's $70,000 in cash plus all those other benefits, and they're doing their best. They added two more incentive packages to get workers to go. They're really eager to hit their targets, their internal targets that they haven't revealed to the public.
And we don't know what those targets are, you just said. As you look at it, why? I mean, obviously the Ford Motor Company's been in a lot of trouble. Why are they reducing their workforce this way?
Well, under the new UAW labor agreement, which lasts for 4 years, Ford is able to hire in new workers at wages that are about half of what they currently pay their workers. And they're very eager to shed as many of the higher paid workers as they can so that they can backfill those jobs with people who make a lot less money. And if they do that, if they're successful, they might actually be able to do something novel at Ford Motor Company, which is take work that they had been outsourcing to other countries and maybe even bring it back into the U.S. But they have to be able to hire those lower paid workers to make that work.
And there's a deadline for this, as I understand it?
The workers have until March 17th to make up their minds. And at Ford Motor Company, that means about 60,000 workers are currently faced with a deliberation about whether they want to stay or go. They've faced this deliberation before many times over the last few years. The deals are better than ever. I think the thing this time around is that Ford has been basically telling the workers that this is the last time we're going to offer an enterprise-wide buyout. After this, who knows what can happen. They're not threatening layoffs, but I think the implication is clear that if they don't hit the targets that they want, that they may have to take actions that may not be agreeable to the workers.
And what about workers' pensions, but what about their health policies programs? Would they be included in these buyouts?
Well, it depends on which buyout you take. You mentioned a $140,000 buyout at the start of the program. And if you take that one, you basically are walking away from all, you know, a lot of your any obligations that Ford would have toward you. Basically, you're cutting all ties with the company. There are two or three buyout packages that are kind of in that category. And then the other packages, you can maintain your health care and benefits under certain, considerations and rules and so forth.
But a lot less cash.
But a lot less cash. That's correct.
And what are employees saying about this?
Well, you know, I love Detroit. The people here have seen it all. They have been riding this automotive roller coaster for years, a lot of these workers. They are not scared about being laid off. Many of them have been laid off before. A question about taking a buyout at a time like this really comes down to them for, am I too tired to keep working? Am I ready to retire? Or even, do I just have no faith left in this company? I think some workers who decide to leave are kind of at that point. But a lot of workers still really, truly believe in Detroit and in Ford Motor Company, and I'm sure at GM too. And those workers want to hold on because they know that if they do, that this job will continue paying them what they've been paid in the past, that there are bonuses to be had. I mean, in the middle of this whole buyout craze again, Ford Motor Company is going to be offering bonuses to its workers for their performance last year. So, I mean, I think a lot of workers look at that and they say, well, why are they giving us bonuses and offering buyouts? Maybe I should stick around. So I think there's a lot of things that go into play here for these workers. And, you know, some of them are very savvy. They've seen it before. They've stuck around for big buyouts. So I think that there's a lot of things at play for a lot of people, especially their homes right now. I mean, the housing crisis is probably, Michigan is one of the worst states to sell your house right now.
We're talking with Sarah Webster of the Detroit Free Press. If you'd like to join our conversation about buyouts, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Steve, who's on the line with us from Detroit.
Yes.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I did take a buyout in 2006. It was a tough decision, obviously, because it was voluntary, and it was an opportunity to continue working, obviously, and make additional money. But the decision to take that buyout was clearly done for two reasons. Number one, I think the overall climate in the industry was such that you have to make a decision on whether or not you want to continue working under that climate, one where there's pressure from management to move, pressure on your job, pressure on your job performance, and you have to weigh that against your family. And then secondly, the other decision was that there was an opportunity to do other work on top of what you got for your buyout and continue with a new career.
And have you been able to do that?
Yes.
So you did, you think, pretty well overall?
Yes. Overall, I think that was the correct decision to make. And again, was there risk? Yes. But I think the risk paid off in the end.
And obviously, you must have friends and former colleagues who made the other decision. Do you still talk to them about what they decided to do?
Absolutely. Those that stayed, some wound up being compromised out of their job. And when I say that, I think you understand how your job objectives can be set up such that you're set up to fail, basically. And some of them wound up actually being laid off, and in that case they didn't get much of anything, so that was a bad side. But I are still working and have gone on to do something greater, but from what I've seen, they wind up being the lesser group of the two groups.
Steve, thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a good day.
And I wonder, Sarah Webster, if you think that sounds familiar, it sounds similar to some of the conversations you've been having over the past few days.
All the time, and really not just the past few days, really the past few years. I did a quick calculation before I came over to the studio, and I've written more than 100 stories in the last 3 years about buyouts. And I think that aside from workers like the one who just called in, you know, one thing that rises above everything when it comes to these buyouts, something that is overlooked, is that I would say the vast majority of the workers who are considering a buyout are ready to retire. And they are of an age where they're just, you know, ready to go. I mean, it's not an unsavory situation that they're facing. They're just making a decision about whether to just retire.
I was going to ask, is there a generational divide? You're suggesting older workers might be more inclined to accept it.
Not always. I talked to a 60-plus-year-old worker the other day, a skilled tradeswoman who fixes instruments in the plant for a living, and she told me, you know, she could have retired a while back, but she doesn't want to retire. Why should she? She's making about $80,000 a year, and she's still healthy and happy, and, you know, if Ford ends up laying her off, then who cares? I mean, she will get her pension, and she's, you know, going to keep making a good living either way.
Sarah, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Sarah Webster is a reporter for the Detroit Free Press with us today from the studios of member station WDET in Detroit. Joining us now from Market Watch's studios in San Francisco is Andrea Coombs, assistant personal finance editor for Market Watch. And it's nice of you to be with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
And just talking generally, not necessarily specifically about Ford or GM, but does it make sense to take a buyout?
Well, I think as your earlier speakers have noted, there's a lot of uncertainty. It really depends on a variety of factors. And I don't think, no matter what you end up deciding, you can never be entirely sure which is going to be the best decision. For those people who are near retirement, who are thinking of a buyout package as an early retirement, there is a lot of risk. I mean, there is the risk that they have enough money to last them through retirement. You know, financial planners say nowadays you should plan up to 100, age 100, you know, that you're going to live until 100 if you're in good health right now. That's a lot of time to be funding your expenses. So it depends on, if you're going to take this as an early retirement package, do you have enough money to last you that long? Can you cover inflation risks, that is, inflation eating into your income? It's a lot to think about. And just as Sarah just noted, the worker who's going to stay on and not retire early, even though she is eligible to retire, you really, by not retiring, you're going to continue making your salary. You're going to continue earning those pension benefits, and you're not going to be drawing down your savings. So it's really, it can make sense to stay on, even if the company is offering you a valuable package. Again, it depends a lot also on your situation at the company. Are you in good stead? Are you considered a very valuable worker? And if a lot of people take the buyout package, then perhaps there will be fewer layoffs. Maybe you're in a safe position. Again, there's a lot of uncertainty. It doesn't always make sense to take the package, although oftentimes it does make sense.
And those might be occasions where, like our first caller, you had options to continue working at the same time as you got your buyout.
That's exactly right. What are your other options? A lot of people think, oh, I'll take the buyout, I'll stop working here, and I'll get another job. If the job market in your area, maybe Detroit, isn't looking so great, is that really an option? Maybe you could relocate. You think, I'll relocate, I'll get a new job. If you own a house in that area, are you going to be able to sell it and go, to afford to relocate? There are a lot of uncertainties there. One thing, it's such a major financial decision. I don't always like to tell people to go to a financial planner, because I think a lot of the stuff we can do on our own, but this is such a major financial decision, particularly for those considering early retirement, that I think it is a good time to think about seeing a financial planner, because there are so many retirement risks here. Like I said, the inflation and the income and mm-hmm. how much can you afford to withdraw. But even for the younger worker, you need to figure the cost. How much will it cost to relocate? That's a big one.
Ford has offered tens of thousands of its workers buyouts. We're talking about that proposition specifically and buyouts in general. Have you already taken one or turned one down? What did you think about your decision in retrospect? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Our topic today is buyouts. Tens of thousands of auto workers are being asked to make their choices right now, but they're not the only ones in uncertain industries. A lot of people in the newspaper business have been offered buyouts over the past few years, for example. What's been your experience? What did you have to think about? What decision did you make? Do you think it was wise? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can check out the stories of other listeners on our blog at npr.org/blog of the nation. Our guest is Andrea Coombs, who's the assistant personal finance editor at MarketWatch from Dow Jones. Again, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Let's talk now with Mark. Mark's with us on the phone from Cape May in New Jersey.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Mark.
I took a buyout from a major newspaper that sort of reorganized departments, had a management change. This was 8 years ago. And I figured I could move to a less expensive area away from the big city. I was able to buy a house, which I probably never could have done where I was before. And I've always wanted to be a writer and support myself doing that. And I figured while I was working toward that, I could get a nice little service industry job somewhere in a supermarket or a hotel or whatever. And the more I couldn't stand it, the faster I would write.
Mm.
And 8 years later, I've discovered that you can't support yourself on a service industry job. You need about three of them. I do remember the CEO of General Motors making a big deal out of this a few years ago, that this whole formula of the healthcare being financed by the employer, just the whole model just doesn't work. It's not sustainable. And it's true because my buyout didn't include any kind of extended benefits, so I've had to struggle from one bad health care plan to the next where one's even available, and most service industry jobs don't even offer one.
Well, the newspaper industry has hardly gone from strength to strength in the meantime in those intervening 8 years, but do you think about your decision with some regret at this point?
Yes and no. I mean, I think about what my life would be like if I still was with the company. Some people I know that stayed ended up leaving on less beneficial circumstances than I did. I live at the tail end of New Jersey out in the middle of the ocean now, and it's beautiful. So, hey, you know, I can see stars at night. I don't know any amount of money is worth trading that in.
Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And have a good look at the stars this evening. Andrea Coombs, I guess there are a lot of people like Mark who think, well, you know, there's some downsides, but in general, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad.
I think that's true. And I've talked to career counselors about this who've seen people take buyout offers and actually who have worked with people who are very nervous and afraid of taking the buyout offer. And that's something to think about is to not make this decision out of fear. It's really, you know, if you're offered this kind of package, the thing to do is sit down, figure out your finances, and figure out what you really want to do. Maybe this is the opportunity for you to go and do that career you've always wanted. As the caller just pointed out, it doesn't always necessarily go exactly as planned, but this, you know, this could be an opportunity for you to move on and do something that you've wanted to do. And clearly what you need to do first, though, is not just take the money and run and not just, you know, reject the offer outright without thinking about it. You need to figure out your finances, healthcare costs, as the caller noted, are huge. It's a huge issue. If you're not going to get benefits covered, how are you going to pay for those costs? How are you going to, you know, you'll have COBRA for 18 months, but it, you know, you need to think beyond that. So, and another thing to think about is the possibility of negotiating. It's not a situation where you have a lot of wiggle room or a lot of
leverage,
you know,
necessarily.
Leverage,
yeah.
Exactly. So it's not necessarily going to work, but I have talked to people who say it can work. Maybe you can extend, if you're getting some healthcare benefits, maybe you can extend the time that those are offered. Maybe you can ask for, you know, Ford is offering a tuition reimbursement. Maybe you can ask for some tuition reimbursement or some kind of other benefit to kind of make the going a little easier for you. But it is... it's uncertain. You just, no matter what you end up doing, you're not entirely sure how it's going to work out. But again, the best thing to do is sit down and plan it. And again, the financial planning is huge in this situation. How long will this money last you? Where can you cut back? You know, if you are going to take the money and leave, where can you cut back in your current expenses to make that money last longer and really mm-hmm. give you time to find a job and cover health care and relocation costs?
Andrea Coombs is at Market Watch in San Francisco. Also joining us now from our bureau in New York is Stephen Viscusi, CEO of the Viscusi Group and author of On the Job, How to Make It in the Real World of Work. And Stephen, it's good of you to be with us as well.
Thanks for having me back.
And I believe you think this decision is generally a no-brainer.
Well, I think it's a no-brainer in the fact that you should never take a buyout. I have a completely different opinion than a lot of people today. I think it's the wrong economy. It's the wrong time. The money never lasts long enough. The medical benefits never last. And if you're a Ford worker, for instance, you're making $28 an hour now, guess what? That new worker is going to make $14 an hour. It's almost impossible today, impossible to go out and find another job where you're going to have the same quality of life. What is your education? What is it you want to do? The only reason to take a buyout today is if you really hate what you're doing. If you hate your current career, the industry that you're in, then take advantage of it. However, otherwise, it's just a trick on the part of the company to reduce costs, and it's a trick to get you to leave early so they can make more profits, and you can go on and suffer and suffer and suffer. I talk to people every day who are tricked into these buyouts, and their career never is the same. They never find a new job. The medical benefits do not come back. And it's just a trick. Be very, 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 very careful. And these motor buyouts are just the worst because Detroit is terrible. What else do you think you're going to do when you're there? And where are you going to move to and find a better job? You know, unless you really hate what you're doing or want to find a new career, go into nursing or something that's really hot, most people are just tricked into these buyouts. And it's just a disgraceful way for people to end up with, you know, not enough money, because none of us ever have enough money for the things that we need for the future. So I feel that it is a very simple decision. Stay at that job. Don't let them trick you or to coerce you into quitting or then giving you bad job reviews. Most people, I believe, in their hearts ultimately regret leaving once they do.
Well, we had a caller just a minute ago, Mark, who said, hey, some of the people who didn't take the buyout at the newspaper, they got much less good terms just a couple of years later.
I think, by the way, we had to read between the lines. It's nice for Mark to see stars at night, but he said he's working three jobs. He's starving to death, practically. He didn't really sound to me as happy as he did to you. I think that it was sort of a big deal. He's seeing stars at night, working three service jobs, has no medical benefits, can't figure out where to get, God forbid he gets a catastrophe or some major illness, what's going to happen to him next? He's an example of how you can get tricked into this. And yeah, maybe we can see our dreams by seeing stars while we're starving or we're dying of some disease because we can't get medical insurance. So I think read between the lines of what Mark was really telling us. No one really gave us a definitive answer. I'm giving you the definitive answer. Don't be tricked into these buyouts. They don't really work. The dream of doing that ideal thing, opening your restaurant or doing something that you really want to do, rarely happens to people. Be realistic. Do you have a mortgage? Do you have kids that have to go to college? Where are you going to get your medical insurance from? And what area of the country are you really going to move to? It's not as simple as people think. It's not as easy. And these dreams don't really come true all the time unless you've really, really thought them out. As everyone says, financially plan for the future. Well, it's impossible to financially plan for what's happening now. We don't even know, are we in a recession? Are we not in a recession? You think a recession's coming and you want to take a buyout and not know what you're doing? What kind of education do you have? Where are you going to live next?
Andrea, go ahead.
Sorry, jumping in here. But the other consideration is, what about the company, looking at the financial health of the company you're at? I mean, if the company is really struggling, I'm not talking here about Ford or GM, but just looking at a company, maybe a smaller company that's or even looking at the unit of the company in which you work. And there you could look at the auto workers. If the unit you're in is not, does not have a lot, does not look optimistic or positive, the future of it, maybe you do need to take this buyout. I mean, you don't, you could be laid off later with nothing.
Right. And right now here we have Ford giving bonuses. Actually, the nerve to give bonuses to other workers while they're laying off others. It's just simply a trick. And I'm not saying that there aren't some circumstances, of course, where you're in an industry that's completely dying. But Ford is giving bonuses on one hand and tricking people into taking buyouts in another. It's just disgraceful.
Let's get some callers on the line. This is Jonathan. Jonathan wishes with us from Wichita in Kansas.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Jonathan.
I'd had a little different opportunity at a buyout in the Marine Corps. And I was told a story. This was just after the Gulf War, first Gulf War. And I was on the leave, and I was in a social setting, and a doctor said to me, you're a Marine. And I said, yes, I am, doctor. He goes, you stay a Marine. He says, I'm going to end up dying a doctor. You're going to do two careers in your life after you retire. You hang in there. And those words hung in the back of my mind. And with my wife having MS, I've been retired 11 years now after a 20-year career. We have paid very little for the medical benefits we have. That's what's made me change my point of view about universal medical care, but that's another point.
That's another issue, yeah.
That's another issue, but my point is, what the gentleman just said about buyouts, he's absolutely right. He's 110% correct. Many former Marines have looked back and regretted taking that buyout as a young sergeant or a young staff sergeant. They wish they had finished their careers.
Not only Marines, by the way, but most people say this. It's nice to – what this guy is saying is exactly true. It's simply a trick. And here's a company giving bonuses with one hand and then laying people off with the other. Medical today is impossible to achieve without having a real job. Where do you think you're going to find another job so easily today?
Well, there's two other points. If it wasn't a trick, if it really was a good deal, CEOs wouldn't have golden parachutes.
That's right.
And we as voters and workers need to make these companies respect us and be responsible to society. That's what we should be doing.
Jonathan.
In answer to the young lady who said, well, what do you do when these companies are going to fold? You make them fold completely. You don't let them walk away with their $25 million mansions and we get nothing as workers and citizens.
Jonathan, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Martha. Martha with us from Evanston, Illinois.
Hi.
Hi.
I took a buyout about 8 months ago from a big manufacturer of construction products.
And how'd it go?
And I'm real happy. I was a lawyer. I had gone through school and practiced with four children as a single parent. And, it's my turn. They've all been through college. And I realized when I got the package that this was my chance, and I have enjoyed learning to live on less. I really have. Hmm. And I've been teaching law and looking for some contract legal work, but have a lot of possibilities out there. And certainly there's a lot of uncertainty, but I will never look back.
Andrea, someone with a legal degree like Martha has options that I would guess most auto workers don't have.
That's exactly right. In fact, I was going to jump in and say that people, it's sort of more at the executive level, are going to have a lot more options. The relocation, the finding another job might be a lot easier. So it is, again, it depends on your position in the company, the strength of the unit for which you work in that company, what you think the outlook is. I mean, I think that the caller raises a really good point. This can be a great opportunity for people to move on and jump into something that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to do or didn't feel, you know, was prudent to do so. But, you know, it is true that also it may not be the right thing for you. It's really going to depend on your financial situation and your, you know, your skills, your job skills, and the likelihood of you finding another job or really being able to do that career you've always wanted to do.
And Martha, does healthcare worry you?
Yeah, healthcare worries me, but I have arrange for health care, and as I say, I just have to scrimp, but I don't mind that. I spent a lot as a lawyer, and it really didn't make me happy.
Okay, Martha, thanks very much for the call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
We're talking about buyouts with Stephen Viscusi, the CEO of the Viscusi Group, and with Andrea Coombs, who is the Assistant Personal Finance Editor of MarketWatch from Dow Jones. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Mark on the line. Mark with us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I took a buyout about 4 years ago, went back to school, and in August I started med school.
Congratulations. But I assume you're on the younger side of people being offered buyouts.
No, actually, I'm 56.
You're 56 now?
Yes.
So you took this buyout, at the age of 52?
Yes, I did.
And a lot of people would have said, you're approaching your mid-50s, not a lot of job prospects out there.
A lot of folks thought I was kind of nuts, but, people who know me, they know I'm nuts anyway. So.
I see. Med school obviously is not cheap, as many parents know and as many graduates know coming out with a lot of loans. Are you going to be burdened with loan payback?
Yes, we'll be able to finance it through most of our assets. I had the good fortune of being able to sock quite a bit of money away. Plus, I have the advantage of a wife who's a public school teacher. So that takes care of current income and health care.
And what kind of medicine are you going to go in, just out of curiosity? So you're going to be like a 65-year-old doctor starting a practice? Do you think people are going to come to you? What kind of medicine are you going to start?
General practice, Stephen, and I'm going to be an osteopath.
Okay.
So I figure I'll be able to be a good general practitioner as well as getting into geriatrics.
Interesting.
Mark, thanks very much, and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go one last call. This would be another Mark. Mark with us from Novi in Michigan.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'd like to offer an alternate viewpoint to your panelist from New York. I'm a lower-level white-collar employee at Ford, and I think his rhetoric about bonuses and so forth is somewhat distorted. In my particular case, they're going to offer the bonuses to all employees, both the white-collar and the blue-collar. And at my level, the bonus is rather nominal. After tax, we're probably talking about a couple $100. And that's a minor compensation to the fact that I haven't had a pay increase in 2 years because the company has not been profitable. So it all ultimately boils down to having a viable company going forward because of some of the legacy burdens that they have. If there's no viable company, there's no future for anyone.
So what's the better job that you're going to find? Were you going to go to Starbucks?
Well, I'm not having a buyout right now. They're not extending them to the white collars at the moment. Mm-hmm.
But what would you do? What would you do if you had a choice? Where do you see yourself getting a job in Detroit?
Well, I try to do something else. But again, the point is that if there's no viable company, there isn't going to be any future for anyone. And viable company ultimately depends on profitability.
Well, Ford is still a viable company.
You think
Ford's going to go out of business? That's what you think?
What we're talking about is the long term, the people who are current retirees, the current legacy benefits. Yeah, they're not in danger of going insolvent anytime soon, but if you're looking 10, 15, 20 years out, it's somewhat ominous.
That's absurd. Ford's going to be here 100 years from now.
Not if it's not profitable.
Mark,
it'll be gobbled up by someone else.
And Mark, if you would just tell us more or less how old you are, because there does seem to be some generational differences here.
I'm 48, so I'm sort of mid-career here. And as I say, I take exception to that rhetoric because it's somewhat misleading.
Well, it's not rhetoric. It's reality. And if they're gobbled up by someone else, by the way, Ford's still alive as a company. They're just another company like Mercedes bought Chrysler. It does happen.
I understand.
And got rid of it. Yes. Thanks very much for the call, Mark, and good luck to you. Appreciate the phone call. And our thanks to our guests, too. You just heard Stephen Viscusi, of the CEO of the Viscusi Group, who is with us from our bureau in New York City. He's the author of On the Job, How to Make It in the Real World of Work. Stephen, good to talk with you again.
Thanks so much, Neil, having me back.
And also with us, Andrea Coombs, the assistant personal finance editor of MarketWatch from Dow Jones, with us from MarketWatch Studios in San Francisco. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
And coming up next on the program, Thriller, 25 years after its release. It's still the number one selling album of all time. Ebony editor Harriet Cole spent time with Michael Jackson last December to talk about the anniversary. She'll join us in a few minutes. So stay with us. If you'd like to join that conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Send us your Thriller moment, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.